Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 19 of Conversations with Craigle. Boy, it's been a hot minute, hasn't it, since we have been together on the podcast here. My last interviewee was Coach Mitch Stevenson, CrossFit athlete, and that was the part two interview I had done with him. Lots happened. Time has gone by. Summer's over, fall is here, and trying to get scheduling for interviewees, for getting people getting back from travel, from events, and so forth. The episodes come out when they come out. And so getting schedules together from my guest side, from my side, having the time that's free to sit down and do the interview. Then, if barring any kind of technical issues after the interview is recorded, getting it edited and post-editing and then uploaded takes time. And in this case, there were some technical issues I had to really kind of battle through to get this interview together. So any issues with the audio or just an issue of act of God, maybe that's not the right term, but just any issues are on my end, and some of the recording equipment being a little bit faulty. Hopefully it comes through clearly. I'm able to clean it up and you can get the full benefit of my interview with Henry and Kelsey Lawrence. You know, we talked for an hour and a half, and I edited this into two parts because normally I could edit about 25% out, but in this case, there just wasn't as much to edit out. It was just a great hour and a half conversation that we had. We talked about their early lives, where they first met, their jobs, their occupations, their travels before meeting each other, and then during their married life. We talked about the COVID years and what kind of interesting things they enjoy doing. We talked a little bit about challenges and ways that you would challenge your younger self. And then we got into talking about Henry's entry into the Leadville 100 mountain bike race. I cut the interview off a bit at that halfway point, so we didn't get into, we had talked about crewing and kind of the preparation after they found out about Henry being in the race, but we didn't get into the actual race. That you'll have to wait for part two to come out to hear that part. But it was just what a blast for the 50 plus minutes of this interview. And so I'm really proud and thankful that they took the time out of their busy schedules to do this. There's not a lot to announce other than thank you for listening. Be sure to like, follow, subscribe. Many people have started listening to the podcast. And like I said, this is episode 19. There are a number of interviews that I had done with people that you may know, or maybe you don't know, but you'd want to learn not only their life in maybe CrossFit or fitness, but also just their lives of where they grew up, how they grew up, advice they give their younger self, and so on. We did that with Henry and Kelsey, and again, just really thankful for their time, and I really hope you enjoy this interview. Without further ado, here's my part one of a two-part interview with Henry and Kelsey Lawrence. Enjoy, everyone. And welcome, everybody, to another episode of Conversations with Craigle. Today, I am with Henry and Kelsey Lawrence. Hope you all are doing well and hope you are getting fit and being safe and being healthy. Today, we're talking with Henry and Kelsey because they came back from a great event, but also just they're great people, so it's a chance to talk to them. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right, so let's get started. So we're going to let both of them answer whatever questions they choose. So we'll see what kind of answers we can get from them. Where were you born?
I was born in San Diego, California. Okay.
I was born in Detroit, Michigan.
Wow. Talk about total opposite locations.
Yeah.
Sunny and liberal and
Detroit.
cold and liberal. No, wow. Okay. And we'll come to the obvious question, how you guys ended up meeting. But so you're from there. Did you grow up
No, I moved to Ohio in when I was about four.
okay, and then you were there until you graduated high school, or
Until I graduated, well, after college. I lived there for 6 or 7 years after college.
okay, and
I grew up in Southwest Michigan or Southeast Michigan.
yeah,
And then I,
you're all the way through high school and then went off. So college for you was in
In,
San Diego,
no, in Columbus.
Columbus. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
Well,
you're
in near Columbus.
okay. So you're an alumni of
It's called Otterbein University, not
okay,
OSU.
okay, okay. And
I went to the University of Florida.
well, you guys are
Yeah.
talking about total opposites. Like you went from hot to cold, and she went from cold to hot, which
Yeah.
makes sense.
Yep.
And you talked about states. So, and just a general thing, a question would be, so you went California. What other states have you been in or lived in, I should
Lived
say?
in?
Lived in.
I mean, I think there were a couple stops with my family on the way to Ohio, but it was mostly California, Ohio, Washington.
Okay. And
After college, I went to law school in Pennsylvania, and
okay.
so I lived in Pennsylvania, and then I moved from Pennsylvania to Columbus, Ohio,
Okay.
and then to here.
And did you guys move to Whatcom County then?
Yeah,
From where?
right to
Okay.
Bellingham. From
Okay.
Columbus, yeah.
From Columbus. Okay. Law school where?
Villanova.
Villanova.
Yeah.
Go Fighting.
Wildcats?
I don't know. Yeah, I think so. I think so. Yeah. Yeah. You were there. You were a serious student then. You weren't
Yeah.
there for, you weren't for the rah-rah. And you graduated law school when?
2013.
2013.
Yeah.
Have you practiced law?
I did in Columbus
Okay.
and
And
then
but
not here.
okay, cool. But if at least Henry does, he can get some legal advice
Yeah, if needed.
if needed. Okay, so stay out of trouble though. And so you guys moved to Whatcom County when?
I moved late 2018 and
Okay.
Kelsey followed early 2019.
2019. Okay. All right. Henry, family, siblings.
Yeah, I've got a sister, a stepbrother, and a stepsister.
Okay. And where do you fall in the? Are you older sister or younger
Older
sister?
than my sister by, well, both my sister and my stepsister by 2 years, and then my stepbrother is 1 year older than me.
Okay.
So we're all pretty
Kelsey?
close. I
Kelsey?
have one brother, and he's 4 years older than I am.
4 years older. Okay. So let's switch to sports. Did you play sports in high school?
I did not.
Not a, didn't at
Nothing that
all.
stuck.
Not
Not.
okay. Okay. So when you weren't doing academics, what did you do for fun?
I did ride bikes.
Which is a sport.
Yeah,
So
but
you're.
just like playing
Was
with
that kind of your
friends.
early part of cycling then,
I
which we can
guess,
talk? Yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
But I was a bit of a computer nerd. I was not into athletics when I was younger.
And for you?
I played basketball and then was a thrower in track and field in high
Okay.
school.
And both discus and shot?
Yep.
Yeah. Henry, this isn't for you, because the question for
Yeah.
Kelsey would be, what memories do you have about being a high school athlete?
Not many. I don't know. I just remember it was really fun and I liked kind of challenging myself and playing with my friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've always played sports
Hmm.
from then until now, so yeah, it just taught me a lot of lessons, I guess.
Well, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
So, because you didn't do high school athletics or organized, I
I
should
wasn't
say.
a short-lived fencing club.
Okay, nice. On bikes, like
No,
jousting.
that
Oh,
would have been
that would be
great.
great,
That would have
wouldn't
lasted longer.
it? So, I'll shift the question to you. What memories of like your cycling or that memories do you have of that? Like with hanging out with friends or,
Back in the day,
yeah.
I mean, we were just messing around on BMX bikes, building dirt jumps in the woods, just riding around town. Just
Yeah.
it
And you
was
get
a
in trouble for jumping curbs and that kind of stuff.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah, my
Oh yeah.
parents were like telling me to stop skidding,
Yep.
wearing out tires too fast. Just the classic kids on BMX bikes.
Yep. And did you ever so growing up we had the same thing. I mean, I didn't play sports, but we would always have our bikes and my parents always bought used bikes because we beat them up. Like we jump curbs and the neighbors would get mad 'cause we cracked the concrete over time, right? Well, and so they said, quit going sideways, go straight ahead. Well, we were too dumb to realize that going straight ahead means you're going to bend your,
Yeah.
you're gonna put it right in. And the number of times we went head over heels into yards, and so
Yeah, that
yeah,
takes heat
the
off.
memories of, yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. The other question I actually for you as a cyclist, did you ever have you ever gone over the grates where they do like the water, like
Oh,
the
yeah.
runoff? Did they? I think they changed it back when I was growing up. They
Oh, and
wrote,
then catch your
oh
wheel.
yeah, caught the wheel,
Yeah.
and it usually was riding home after dark, and you'd be riding along and you'd try to stay out of the road, and next thing you know, do you ever?
It's never happened to me, but I
No,
could totally could see it happening,
knock on
yeah.
wood. I think they changed the grates
Now I
because
ride generally bikes with fatter tires too, so I'll
there,
be all
yeah, you won't have that
right.
issue. Yeah. Well, if you have, if you ever ride with an enemy and they have thin tires, just have them take the
Yeah.
inside track. So, which brings a question of what did you mentioned about learning lessons from sports? What kind of generally did you learn as far as from high school sports?
That's a good question.
And we can come back to it. We don't have to answer it now,
We
but
were kind of talking about this question last night because I don't know if I really like have any. I don't know. I would say like I don't really know.
Yeah.
It seems like so long ago at this point, and that like the things that I've done athletically since then to me seem like not more meaningful, but
Yeah.
more challenging than when I was so young. I didn't know what I was doing.
Sure. And I
So
think that actually is been pretty common with trying to remember high school and the lessons you learned.
yeah.
Most of the lessons you learned later because you realized as
Yeah.
you reflect back what I should have learned
Yeah, so
rather than what you
we were
learned.
thinking last night, like, when was the first time that we like were actively trying to challenge ourselves with something? And I was like trying to think of like when that started, when I like found that I enjoyed that. And I think I have ideas of when it happened. I mean, probably happened earlier and it's not remembering everything, but like it takes a while before you
Well, when
get to
you're
that point.
yeah, when you're a
Yeah.
kid, you're just out there
Yeah, that's
doing
just
the
screwing
activity.
around.
You're hanging out with your friends. You're
Yeah.
doing your deal, whatever. The coach is yelling at you to get in line or whatever it
Right.
is. But and you're usually, frankly, ignoring it because, you know, you're just out there doing your thing. And I think when you start to formulate some challenge and such, so yeah.
I think, well,
Well, we
thinking,
can.
we talked about that last night too, a little bit, and I think that, and I didn't think about this at the time in high school or even now, but throwing was very, it wasn't team. You were on a team, the track team, but like it was me, right? My name was on it, and I think I didn't think a lot about it because I didn't think I was very good at it. I was okay at it, but basketball was like my love of the sport I liked. But now I see a lot more similarities between how I approached throwing and how seriously I took it in the end of high school. Because like I cared a lot, and now what I'm doing now, because all the things I do now are basically individual, instead of playing like a team sport. So I thought about that later, and I was like, yeah, that's probably more meaningful now than like playing basketball was, but. You know, you change over time as you get older.
So what would you, now that you didn't really think about it,
Yeah.
what would you tell your younger cyclist buddy, and thrower,
Yeah.
if you were to give that person advice, or you could even just say somebody in that situation that you see, if they asked for one piece of advice, what would you, say as a reflection?
I think I would. There are a few instances of like when I was younger thinking about getting into like, I just remember like almost getting into BMX racing. And it's like, I wish like a little deeper, just tried a little bit harder to get into something like that. I feel like when I was a kid, it's like, if it didn't immediately click, it was so easy to just move on. I wish I could have spent a little more time on some of those things. But I guess I just didn't really have anybody in pushing me to try just a little bit more on some of those. Like it was just me. Like, do I want to do it? Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe not. Never mind. I'll just. I would
Young
say,
Kelsey.
yeah. In that situation, I would say two things. You can try harder than you think, and then the second one would be, I don't know what the place is, but like, let yourself go to the place that feels uncomfortable. Because I think I don't think I ever did that until I was like over 30, and now we do it. I feel like I do it all the time.
Yeah.
And it's okay, and I don't
It gets easier. I will tell you're way younger than me.
Yeah.
It gets way easier to get to
To find
uncomfortable
that dark place.
quickly.
Yeah,
So you don't have much choice
and whether it's like in a
to
workout or even like doing something scary on your bike, which like isn't a workout but takes more like mental Like, you have the focus and you have the skills. Like, let yourself be in that place and figure it out. And things might not go well, but, you know, you'll sort it out. And then you'll learn. And then the next time you're there, you'll...
And do you find that, in some ways, it kind of struck me as you were talking, and I've thought this a lot, interviewing people, but also just myself, because you're more mindful today than you were. As a kid, you're just a kid.
You've gone through more.
Yeah. And so you're more mindful about the need to push yourself, the ability to push yourself, the benefits of doing that.
Yep.
And I think a lot of that too, you know, the chance to push yourself in the gym may benefit you when you, so this has been a theme with other interviews, Mitch, Lucas, and I've talked about it, JT and Erica, in essence, suffering. That it pushing through that assists you in the midst of suffering, which I know you've had your own. We can chat a little bit about that too, but it assists you because you don't know when suffering happens how you react. But by pushing yourself in these situations, it gives you sort of priming towards that. So your best indication to me, which is why for me that's one of the reasons why I try to push myself, because of the times where I suffered, I wasn't prepared. Now I can be prepared in some shape, at least a little bit, on how to do that. So
I agree.
Very cool. So let's move on to work stuff. So we talked a little bit. You're a computer nerd, right? Right. So you and I, and we do similar stuff, but you do what?
I work at Western Washington University on the server infrastructure team.
Okay, so you're a computer nerd,
I guess.
Yeah,
begrudgingly. Yeah.
So you're the server side. For those that are not computer nerds, Henry does the, I do the break fix side for another community college in town. So I do more the, when you break your computer, I go fix it. He tries to make sure you have your emails.
Yeah, I support like the
storage.
Yeah.
So all the things that you get to do email, he's hidden in a closet somewhere. Or at home.
Connecting the wires.
Yeah. So you never see him.
Unfortunately, no longer
In fact,
wires.
If you had video, Henry is literally looks like he hasn't been in the sun forever. I'm teasing. That's not true. Okay. And Kelsey?
I guess at this point I would say that I'm like an event planner in a way, or operations person. I work for... right now, two places. I work for the Whatcom Mountain Bike Coalition, so the nonprofit advocacy group in town that builds and maintains the mountain bike and multi-use trails throughout the county. And then also this past summer and a little bit in the fall, I work for the Bellingham Bells baseball team. So the summer collegiate wood bat baseball team, helping them run events and maybe moving a little bit into operations. So
cool.
Didn't find a legal job, but I found something else. So
found something fun.
It is pretty fun, yeah.
Yeah.
I get to meet a lot of people in the community and kind of create, I don't know, special, exciting events for people to come to. So
yeah,
it's been fun.
And you've been doing IT how long?
Technically since middle school. I started working for the IT department at my middle school, transitioned into the same thing in high school. In college, I pretty quickly got an IT job there, and then that my school that I graduated from, they hired me on full-time, and I worked there for, I think, 7 years before moving out here.
Okay.
So my whole life I've worked in education IT.
So how often do you get called by family and friends to come fix something?
Not as much anymore, but it definitely still happens. I mean, it's inevitable.
I have a rule. There's a handful of people I will do support for. Everybody else is like, you can't afford my rate. Like, what do you charge? I said, if you have to ask, you can't afford it. Time. It's just a time issue, you know. I'm probably the most non-techie outside of work. I still have a 720p TV. I don't have any fancy stuff. My laptop's probably the biggest technical thing, because if I don't get paid to work on it, it's frustrating to sit there working on it to me.
Yeah.
So I minimize my technology. So
you do either.
Yeah, our home tech is pretty it's dialed, but it's simple.
Yeah, and I will tell you, I've enough tech people. Very few once you get into the game.
Yeah.
Last thing you want to do is your own tech report.
Set and forget.
You don't want to do. It's like asking a lawyer to do their own legal stuff. They'll do it, but it's like you don't want to. I mean, so I get it. That's cool. And then for you were studied law, and you practiced law for a period of time. How long?
So from 2013 until we moved here, so 6 years.
Okay, and what specific? Yeah.
So I worked at a nonprofit doing like appellate litigation, and then after that I worked as a clerk for two judges at like a very kind of niche court for 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So you had a chance to work in your practice.
Yeah.
Would you go back to it if you had a chance to go back to it?
Not here.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. You don't have to go in. Why?
Yeah. If we lived in Ohio still, I would do it. I would still be doing something related to that. Yeah. But I don't think I was meant to practice law here.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you found your niche.
Found something.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we move into the next part, which is, where did you first meet?
We met in Columbus.
Oh, don't look at her, though.
No, I mean,
I always look at the couples and go, they each look at each other, making sure they're going to answer right.
No, I definitely know the answer. Yeah. So, we met not at CrossFit, but through CrossFit. I had left a gym. Kelsey had joined that gym after I left, but I still went to the parties. And we met at a friend's from their gym, their birthday party. Yep. Met across the flip cup table.
Love it.
And
competing against each other.
Yeah. Then I went to the gym.
Yeah.
We did a class. Like I just joined a class that she was. I knew she'd be there. I think we somehow coordinated. We coordinated it somehow. Yeah. I wasn't just creeping in. And then we went on a date after that, and off we went.
And so since Henry answered that one, well, do you remember what you guys did for your first date?
Yeah, we went to a restaurant in the neighborhood that we both lived in. You lived in, yeah.
Yeah, it was in Grandview.
And do you remember what the restaurant was?
Grandview Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you have?
Oh, that I don't know.
I know what I had. I don't know if you know, but I know exactly what I had.
I don't remember.
I do.
What do you have?
I had a buffalo chicken salad.
Oh, your favorite.
Exactly.
Like, old favorite.
Yeah. I still eat them today.
You walk in a restaurant, if they don't have it, we'll try another one.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm pretty predictable when it comes to that, too. You know, old favorites. Okay, so then you dated for how long before you got married?
5 years.
Okay. Yeah. And where and when did you get married?
So that's...
We got married in May of 2019 at the Whatcom County the Bellingham Municipal Court building.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Do you remember the judge or the...
Ooh.
I remember what she looked like. I don't know her name.
No, I'm teasing. Yeah. You don't have to say.
I found her, so that's how...
Yeah, but we did communicate with her a bit before.
Yeah, I don't remember her name. She was from Michigan, though. I do know.
Really?
But then our wedding was later.
Okay. So you got married initially, but then you had
We
were supposed to have a party in March of 2020.
Yeah.
So that got canceled.
Oh, I wonder what happened. Yeah.
So we had to wait a year, and then we still May. What is it? 23rd.
Okay.
Right?
So you guys got married in 2019, but then
2021 we had. Yeah.
I was actually supposed to be on a plane to go to Russia.
Oh.
And 2 weeks before COVID hit, canceled everything. Had to cancel my tickets and everything. I told my kids get married. We watched it. I got the stream set up for them, and they got married. Another kid got married later in the year. They're like, "Well, we should wait." And I'm like, "This could be."
Yeah.
My brother's a doctor. Said this is a 2-year deal.
Yeah.
This is not going to be quick. So it's good you guys got married when you did, because you got the tax break too. Early tax breaks.
Yeah.
You know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I get it. Okay. So, all right. Here's one for you. Somebody comes to you. They're going to get married. Each one piece of advice you'd give them about being married.
I don't know. Have fun doing stuff together. I think that's something that we have, where we enjoy a lot of the same things, so we get to enjoy things together.
Yeah.
I think that makes it.
That's actually exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Well, sort of version was just like, don't be afraid to try.
Yeah.
Either the thing that your spouse is doing, or like something new, and then try to do it together.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people have to. Oh, I do this thing.
Yeah.
She does that.
We do
thing.
Like all.
But like we're like, if I like something, I'll be like, hey, you want to do this thing that I like?
At least try
the same
it.
Way.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we find that we like. Yeah.
You don't have to
not
like it, but at least try.
Yeah, like I still can't get you to ski that much.
No.
Can be. Yeah.
I learned how to ski, but
Skiing's still just my
I'm
thing.
basically
I mean,
retired.
you can be the support system with the drinks warmed up down at the lodge or whatever, you know, because that's my gig. I survived. I got destroyed my first time, shattered my collarbone, first time
Oh.
skiing. It took 10 years to get on skis and then survived it. Haven't been on them since.
Yeah.
And
Fair.
so
That's fair.
I'm happy to, I cheer you on and go, Henry. Rah, rah. But it is funny, you know, the general advice is that be together,
Yeah.
enjoy each other. I will share this with listeners, my son and daughter-in-law, my son married a gal from Russia, and she's a great gal. And I asked them that advice. They had their 4-year anniversary. And I said, what would you give to, you know, somebody getting you? She says, just keep swimming. That's all she said. She said it in English. And I'm like, okay, I guess that's good. I said, can I clarify? You mean, you know, don't drown the other person? She says, no, just keep moving. Because you know what? Whatever happens is going to happen. And if you're together on the swimming, you have your buddy and
Yeah.
so on. So cool. Okay, so you, this goes to Henry. You're an iLove coach. When did you start coaching and how did that come about?
I started September, but just over a year ago, September last year.
Okay.
Well, that's when I started coaching on my own. So that process started sometime before that. I can't remember
Yeah.
exactly when.
The shadow coaching and
Yeah,
kind
we
of.
did that for like a month or
Yeah.
two.
Yeah. And how did it come about that you
Kaylee asked me.
asked you if you wanted to
Yeah, she
coach?
just called me one day.
Yeah.
And I was kind of, it felt out of nowhere, but in retrospect, it like seemed like a
Yeah.
good thing.
And then you went and got your L1
Yeah.
at that point
Yeah,
and
so we coordinated all that. I
yeah.
mean, when we talked about it at first, I was like surprised and like the kind of like, what? No, I'm not a coach. I just go to the gym. But then I thought about it more and I was like, I'd like that. I could do that.
Yeah.
I think I feel like I have a lot of friends that do some sort of like coaching type thing, or Kelsey does like ride leading and things like that. And it's like I don't have anything like that. I could use something like that where you're kind of helping other people with something that you enjoy.
Was it I mean, was it challenging? Because, I mean, you're outgoing, but by nature,
Yeah.
you're pretty. You strike me as an introverted.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
You're a forced extrovert who's an introvert.
Yeah, so like
Yeah.
standing in front of the class is not something I
Yeah.
would have typically done.
Yeah.
And it definitely took some get still takes some getting used to. It's not
Yeah.
my favorite. Well, it's not, I don't mind it anymore.
Yeah.
It's
Well, I mean,
fine.
you're good. You're each
It's
coach is
fine,
different, but
yeah.
you do great at it. And I think the process. You do led the Saturday class this morning, and I was thankful we didn't do the leg blaster.
It's
Although I expect with winter coming,
been a while, yeah. I know. I
we'll
was
be
looking at the
doing
calendar. I was like, when did I do that? It's like, we're not
it.
quite the ski season yet. It's
No.
like, it's on
And
the
after this
horizon,
week
but
of programming, I'm like, if I saw it, I would have turned around and walked back out. I'll be back for the interview. So, very cool. So, yeah. And you're sort of opposite because you're more extroverted, would you say,
I would say
Kelsey?
that's true.
Yeah.
You're more, I mean, you're sort of
Yeah.
opposite
I
in
would say
some
that
ways.
since we've moved here though, we've moved closer to the other one. Like I feel like
Yeah.
you've gotten more extroverted and I've gotten more
Yeah,
introverted
that's
since we've
fair.
moved
That's
here.
fair.
Yeah, cool.
If that
Very
makes so
cool.
we're
Yeah.
sort of more even, I feel like a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I feel like
Yeah.
you don't really want to stand in front of the class and lead them either.
No. I mean, I like it for mountain biking,
Yeah.
but I wouldn't, yeah.
It's kind of your element, though.
Yeah.
It's sort of, you know, not that CrossFit isn't your element, but you're used to. So, what do you like about coaching?
I like seeing people grow. Like you develop these relationships with all of these people, then like you actually see over time changes, and it's like super cool, and it's cool when you encourage those changes and then they actually like happen. And I've never really experienced that before. But I think also it just makes me be more intentional about my own CrossFit and like knowing what I'm doing and doing things correctly and knowing why I'm doing things and thinking about it more and just a deeper understanding and just more involved. And I
So
like being involved in the gym.
for you personally, it's helped you in that way
Yeah,
too.
and
Yeah.
I like being part of the team. I
Yeah.
like being on the team.
Yeah, and you guys actually just had where we just they seems like we always do the interviews after seemingly, but they had a coaches meeting. So, and again, I'll just shout out that if you're in the Linden area or Bellingham area, Whatcom County, check out CrossFit. I love it because they are intentional. They do have coaches meeting. They are constantly improving themselves, and that helps the members, of which I am, be better. So that's very cool. Shout out to Matt and Kaylee for that. Okay, so we already talked about that question, how it's helped you. So you both done the Open, CrossFit Open?
Mm-hmm. I have.
Yep. How many have you done?
I've done it twice.
And Kelsey?
I've done it three times.
Okay.
2013, 2014, and 2024.
So, okay, a little bit of a
gap. What year did I do it? I thought it was 2016, but I don't know if I just made that date up.
Oh, no, I did 14, 15.
I did it a long time ago.
Yeah,
I did it about 10 years ago, and I did it this year.
Yep.
You did it this year.
My first one was 10 years ago.
That's what,
and then this year.
That was actually the follow-up was, when was your first? I actually went out with Mitch and asked. So this isn't so much an open question, but do you remember the first workout you ever did in CrossFit?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. I don't.
Yeah. What was
it? Death by thrusters.
Oh. Yeah.
You and Mitch both did first workout through thrusters?
Yeah.
I won't forget.
Yeah, I mean, you remember because, yeah.
Yeah.
So you
entirely
don't
entirely possible. I don't know because I dabbled in CrossFit on my own before I went to a gym, I think. Yeah. So I don't remember what concoction of workout I did first. And I don't remember what I first did when I went to Scioto the first time.
Mm.
But it probably was thrusters. It seems to be a theme.
Yeah. I remember, I mean, I've already shared it. It was when Matt opened the gym here, I'd never heard of CrossFit until I was up at Homestead and I came to the open house here, and it was three rounds, 250 meter rowing, which I had never done, 20 kettlebell Russian swings to the eye level, and I think it was 15 box jumps to a like 18 inch box.
That's pretty good.
Which is great, 12 minute time cap. Mm-hmm. I couldn't finish the third row.
Mm.
My son laughed at me. My son, who I came here, that was the whole reason we came. And so I actually yearly do that workout.
Nice.
I do it in my time, obviously.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Didn't get time capped. But it's like one of those things where you'll never forget the first time, because I laid on the bench for about 20 minutes. And my son said to Matt, "Did you kill my dad?" So you never, that was 13 years ago, never forgot. And so that's very awesome. So this last Open that you both did, why? Why did you sign up for the Open? I mean, there were some gaps.
I was more or less, I had to.
You were a coach?
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have?
I don't know that I wouldn't have. I think it was more fun doing the Open here than I... It's fun to do the Open here.
Yeah.
I don't really care about the Open itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not that super competitive in that space. But I did enjoy doing it here. I mean, I had a terrible every workout went wrong for me. But that's but that's okay. I did kind of enjoy just getting kicked in the teeth.
Yeah, yeah, it is a fun. Well, and actually, why did you?
Because
Henry cause had to, and you had
no,
to.
I think you wanted.
I was gonna do it no matter what. I don't really. I think just.
We skipped it our first year because we were gone for like three,
gone
like
all the
two
time.
Out of the three workouts.
But I also think that like we in the last. So this year will be our third year here.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the second year and a half part of that, we dedicated ourselves more to the gym, and it felt more right to do the Open and be part of the what the community. The first year we came here, we were kind of just like all over the place still. And then we kind of like dedicated ourselves to coming, and then I was like, okay, well, let's do this. Let's be part of it. It was great. I had a great
time.
Yeah,
it was super
fun. And by the way, again, shout out. It is a blast if you're in the area when the CrossFit Open happens in February. Definitely check out CrossFit. I love it. Okay, so now we're going to shift gears to mountain biking and cycling. So when did you? Well, we already talked about you first took up cycling in that when you were younger. So let's shift to how many miles approximately? Do you have an idea how many miles a year you put on?
I
your
meant
bike?
To look that stat up. I mean, it's
generally
it's like man. I don't know. 2,000 to 3,000.
Yeah.
Ish.
Okay. And you get out how often during the week?
When the weather's good, and I mean, probably right now it's not very much, but I would say it varies from like riding once a week is all I get, or I'm out 3 or 4 days.
Mm.
It depends. It really depends, and I think. I like that about it.
Yeah.
It you don't have to like.
There's not a schedule.
Yeah, it's like honestly, it's a lot of times just like what I've got going on and how the weather looks.
Yeah.
And if I feel like it.
Yeah. And you ride mostly in groups, to by yourself, a little combination of
Both,
both,
yeah, both.
or whatever comes
I've
up.
got we've got a lot of friends that ride, so
Yeah.
like we have a lot of social rides. And
Okay.
then a lot of times I just want to get out for a lap and
Yeah.
just go
Yeah.
blast a lap.
And where's like the go-to if you have to you get a ride in? Do you like
I mean,
particular spots?
Galbraith is the
Galbraith
easiest.
Mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you lead rides
I do.
regularly, weekly, or?
No, a couple times a month.
Okay.
Yeah, I
And
like one to two
are
times.
they like how long a ride are they?
It depends. Usually about like 2 hours. I
Okay.
lead women like rides for women through the mountain biking organization
Okay.
that I work
And
for up in.
it's mountain biking, nothing road wise or any of
No,
that. Yeah.
no, yeah.
Okay. Do you remember your first race?
I just don't remember what my first actual race was. I think I did like a time trial race back in Ohio. But my first like getting to what we'll talk about later, my first like big endurance race was in 2018. I think before that I'd just done some like shorter, you know, little local.
And how long was that? How the
That was the
2018 ride was?
60 mile, six like 60 or the 100 kilometers, so
Okay, yeah, 60 miles,
62 ish,
60,
I
right?
think. I think that's what it
Yeah,
ended up being.
yeah.
That was Mohican 100K in
And
Ohio.
was that a mountain bike
That
track
was a
or
mountain bike.
gravel
Yeah,
or
it's
mostly
that was it's
dirt
like
trails?
I think that one's like probably like 60 or 70% single track with some gravel.
You remember elevation?
Like 7,000 feet of climbing.
Okay.
It's in a
Yeah.
hilly part of Ohio.
Okay.
Ohio's not all flat.
Yeah. Well, I'm an Iowa kid. It's
Yeah.
clearly more hilly than
Yeah,
Iowa.
it's like the hilliest
But at
area
least
to.
we can say we're more hilly than Nebraska.
Yeah.
So we got that for us. But and then so let's for both of you, how has cycling, I mean, we talked about CrossFit, but how has cycling helped you in your life physically, mentally, emotionally?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of gives you everything. It's like a social activity, you know, it's going out with friends. It's challenging yourself with not only physical stuff but like mental challenges. It's scary. I mean, we've got really gnarly trails around here, and it's legit. And you can challenge yourself in all sorts of different ways, just sort of whatever you want to do. You want to do, you know, just like physically challenge yourself, easy, you know, just go mash up some hills. And then also it's fun. It's extremely enjoyable. Like the descents around here are super, like just an absolute blast. It's like you can go out by yourself and just clear your head, go on a solo ride, just you can get whatever you want out of it. It's like it gives you back so much.
Yeah, I kind of agree
Yeah.
with what Henry said. I think a lot of people know. I sort of started riding in Ohio in 2018 with Henry, because he had not been riding for a while, and then I saw this bike in his storage because we didn't live together, and I was like, "Why don't you ride this bike?" And he was like, "I don't know." So we got it back out and started riding again, and that was
I was
literally
like,
it.
oh wow, this is fun.
And
I
then we moved in together, and we had four bikes in the garage, and I was like, "Well, I didn't know it would turn into this."
forgot.
And
You
so I
uncovered
started riding with him, but then I got in March of 2018 diagnosed with breast cancer. So I was in treatment for like 8 months after that. And so I stopped riding because I crashed all the time because I was terrible, because I didn't know what I was doing. So I rode a lot of road, but then when we moved out here, I was like, well, I didn't really start riding until we moved here. I had no idea if I would really like it or not. I think he was like, I hope this works. And like Henry said, it kind of serves you in the ways that you need it. At least that's how I feel about it. Like when I came here, I was like, I wasn't like I had lost all my basically almost all of my fitness. I didn't really know what I was doing. I didn't know anybody, so I got a bike and I kind of just started riding it with Henry, with the friends that he had met, and it really like challenged me in ways that I needed after like kind of being through this whole like situation. And so it really brought me out of that. And then once I got fitness back, it was like what Henry said, like if you wanna, I've never as an adult felt so scared as I have in certain moments on my bike. And honestly, it's really bad, but I really like it. Like sometimes I'm like, I just wanna like, there's a feeling and like an endorphin rush after you do something really hard that requires both physical and mental performance at the same time. Like you have to look at the thing and control your emotions and your like negative feedback, like it's too scary, it's too scary. And like accomplishing something like that has brought me a feeling that I had never felt before. And like now I never want, like I would, like last weekend, same thing, we go to a bike park, bunch of scary stuff, and you're like, man, like that's it. So I mean, I don't, it's been great. I didn't think I would love it as much as I did.
Yeah, the endorphin dopamine hit that we all, we all have our ways of getting it, but yeah. In fact, as you were talking, I'm thinking a little bit about the areas where I'm like, I need to do that. I don't know if I want to do it. It's scary. But then I'm always reminded of the times that I've freaked myself out or others. It's usually why I don't do stuff. I'll let people know when I'm going to do something, but I don't actually have people there, so I won't chicken out.
Yeah.
But then I need to know that somebody knows where I'm at so I don't get found 3 days later sort of thing. So that's cool. So which brings us to, you know, not the main piece, but one of the big pieces was Leadville 100, which kind of ties into what we've already started to discuss. Mm-hmm. We talk more as much as you want to discuss the various pieces of it. But first of all, what is the Leadville 100 MTB?
Yeah, Leadville 100 is a 105-mile mountain bike race in Leadville, Colorado. It is like a really well-known, prestigious endurance mountain bike race. Like, it's one of the premier races. It's at a very high altitude. The average altitude of the entire course is over 10,000 feet.
Mm.
And you summit up to 12,500 feet in the middle of the course. It's a mountain bike race, but it is not mountain biking like it is in Bellingham, or it's less single track. I think it's only like 3 or 4% single track, if that.
And for those who aren't big bikers, single track means
like a narrow dirt trail, like sort of what you imagine a mountain bike trail to be.
Okay.
It's more old like mining roads and actual just gravel roads.
Okay.
It's sort of like the race started in the 90s, and like, well, 94 is the 30th year of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much, it's like 90s mountain biking. The course is relatively unchanged. It's like you're just ripping up a mountain and then just turn around and bombing back down a rough, rocky fire road or mining road, which is super cool because it's very fitness dependent. There is like a definitely technical skills required to like go 35 miles an hour down a rocky road. But it's like a different kind of race than what you'd get like out here. It's much more climbing focused. So it's like 12,000 feet of climbing over the 105 miles, so it's very climbing heavy.
Okay. And we'll talk a little bit about the course here. You can kind of describe some of the sections of it. And so you mentioned it was in Leadville, Colorado, and I've asked you this, but how approximately from, let's say, Boulder or Denver?
It's like two and a half from Boulder.
Okay.
It's like south of Aspen and Breckenridge.
Okay.
It's like up there with the mountain.
Up in the mountain.
Yeah,
area.
It's like not
south of Vail.
It's like 40 minutes from Vail.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so it's very interesting. It's like I'd never heard Leadville, but of course I have mountain bikes, but it's not a focal point, so I probably wouldn't, you know, it'd be like asking somebody who doesn't follow CrossFit about the CrossFit Games.
Yeah, it's kind of a town that's only really it's not only known for the race. It's mostly well known for the race. The race is an old mining town that basically the mine shut down one day, and to sort of save the town, they started this race series. Initially started as a run, and then they added the mountain bike component. I'm not sure when the run started, like late 80s maybe. But that was the whole thing, was this town struggling, everybody in town lost their jobs, and then some Ken and Mary Lee, like they're still there. They're still shooting off the shotgun to start you off, or doing the speeches and stuff. They're still there, but they started this thing to just bring money into the town, and it's like
awareness. Yeah.
And now this town has, what'd they say, like every weekend in the summer there is some sort of race going on there. So they have just tons of events there.
A lot of tourists. They came in and businesses as a result. So, and how big, do you know what the population of
Leadville? It's small. I don't know what the number is.
I mean,
I'll
throw a little note. I'll throw a little note, and we'll have all the little notes in there about it and such. So, how, this is the question, So the Leadville 100 MTB.
Yeah.
You tried to get in it previously?
No, I didn't. Barely even knew what it was.
So this brings the question: how? And we'll let probably like Kelsey.
Yeah, Kelsey, why don't you tell how I got into the predicament?
How did Henry get involved in the Leadville 100 MTB?
So I follow, like everybody in CrossFit, I follow Rich Froning on the Instagram or whatever in Mayhem. And I saw the year before he had started cycling, and I was like, oh, and mountain biking. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. Like, he's doing all the things. And he did the Leadville 100, and I told Henry, and he crushed it. And I was like, that's awesome. Like, kudos to him. And then I saw that they were doing a Mayhem team, like a charity team for the race, which is one way you can get into it. And they were doing a raffle, and I thought, well, like, if you donate $100, you get, like, a cool Yeti cup. So I'll at least enter and support the mission and, like, in, if he gets in, like, okay, I'm not doing it.
It wasn't the race. Henry just had to suffer because you wanted the Yeti cup.
No, I asked him. Well, no, because he had done endurance race in the past, and I was like, yeah, that's cool. So, and I don't know, you were always kind of, like, looking for things to do.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that I would win the raffle, and then I won the raffle. So, one of the spots in the raffle. Mm-hmm. And so, Henry got a race entry, and I got a cup.
And what if I recall, I was talking to you guys previously, the charity that they raised money for, was it last year or this year? Was
last year he did he was on the First Descent team, which is a group that does trips for like young cancer survivors, like the 21 to 39 age group. And so I did one of those trips in 2019.
Okay.
So that was another reason I was like, oh, sweet. And then this year they did it with Mayhem Missions, which is CrossFit Mayhem's nonprofit.
Nonprofit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of another tie to that for you was being a cancer survivor.
Yeah.
The tie to that, hey, that's really cool. Yeah. I just recall you saying that in a past conversation. So you enter this raffle and you put $100 down and you got one entry or
one
entry. And I didn't look. I meant to go look to see how many people had entered, but there was like 10 spots they raffled.
Mm-hmm. It was like a very low chance.
We ran the numbers, and it was like less than 2%.
Yeah.
Like it was not, it was a non-zero number. It's definitely,
yeah.
Yeah.
There weren't a huge amount of entries,
mm-hmm.
But there were a decent amount.
Yeah.
But the chances of getting drawn for 10, and especially because who would draw somebody from a little town, you know, Northwest Washington.
Yeah.
People have a hard enough. I say I'm from Everson. Then I have to say, it's near Linden. Then I'm like, it's near the Canadian border. It's near Bellingham. Oh, it's 2 hours north of Seattle. That's kind of how I describe where we are. So you won.
Mm-hmm.
And I recall when you, because we heard about it, Jim Wise, it got announced, obviously. But when you found out, did you find out first?
No.
I got the email. I got an email. I woke up just looking at my phone in the morning, and I was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
So the email said congratulations.
Yeah.
You were one of
the... And then I got a phone call that day from somebody at Mayhem Missions, and I was like, oh, this is real. I really did get this spot.
Did you ever have a temptation to say, well, I didn't actually enter, it was my wife, and so she can ride it?
No, I wanted to do it.
I actually double checked when I entered that
to
if
sure
I entered the ticket,
name.
I didn't have to do it.
That's just the old clause, right?
I was
right.
Like, the other person can do the race, right?
So then it's interesting, how quickly after you got the email did you hear pretty quickly?
Oh, yeah. He woke up.
Well, she was right next to me.
I was sleeping.
And I was like, oh, no, look at this.
Because they did it in Central Time, so 2 hours ahead of us.
And then there was, like, Rich on Instagram
announced all the names.
Reading off the names. I was like, oh, he said my name.
It's real now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you found out you won when?
It was, like, February-ish. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, late, probably late February.
And the race happened?
August 10th.
Okay. So at that point, and you've been riding, but you hadn't been train riding.
Yeah, it was winter too.
Yeah, So you were caught on those once in a while, right?
I was skiing mostly, and then.
So then, and I'm kind of not off the rails, but so once that happened, how quickly did the plan come together for how you were going to train? Or
I started immediately.
Yeah.
I started before I accepted it.
Uh-huh.
It was that day. I got my trainer set up again.
Mm-hmm.
I did so that when you train indoors, you have like a, it's called functional threshold power. It's like the power number that you use to base all your workouts off. and you do a test called the ramp test. There's a couple different tests, but the ramp test is the shortest one. And I did it that day. I was like, I've got to get my training going. I'm doing the ramp test tonight. Everything's set up. I'm going to figure this out. Got the training plan starting tomorrow.
Talk about an endorphin dopamine hit.
Yeah, I was like, I'm behind. I'm already behind. I'm behind. I got to go. So I did that. And then, then I just kept, I kept training there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so you trained all the way up till like 2 weeks out?
I mean, I trained all the way up there.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on what you mean as training. I was still riding.
You're still riding.
I took one day off.
And what did you, I mean, as far as, did you use a particular, like, software or app? Or,
yeah, it's called Trainer Road.
Okay. Is that the one that they kind of pointed you towards one day?
Yeah, which was great because I was already using it and then they gave me a free year.
Oh, nice. Very good. So win-win.
Yeah.
So you use that to train with. And then, did you have to go to, did you prep yourself for support?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh,
you were going through your own training, like, at home?
I mean, we talked about it all the time.
Like, yeah, we did a drive somewhere. Yeah. I don't remember which drive it was, but...
To Colorado.
Yeah, it was a long drive, and we listened to, like, 7 hours straight of, like, a Leadville podcast. We're just looking up every episode that was talking about, like, crew. And how to crew it.
Yeah.
Because it's complicated.
Yeah, for sure.
It's there's something about that race and the way it's set up that, like, and it's partially because everybody does their own crewing.
Yeah.
Like, there is neutral aid, but it's like the way to do the race is to have your own crew.
And you don't, as the crew person, you don't want to be the reason that the race gets
messed
up.
There's a lot that rides on that.
You have to be prepared.
Right.
Because then suddenly I'm stranded without food.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Which is really interesting, too, because we have recently here, again, you did Leadville. You know, we have Ultra Runners.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to JT and Erica and
Art. Yeah.
Okay, I get he and his brother. I know both of them. But Art and the preparation that goes into not just the racing but the crewing side is what strikes me is because exactly that was the thing. You don't want to be the reason the person falters.
Yep.
Because
So you need to, like, I felt like I needed to know as much as he did.
Yeah.
About
and you
the
do.
Race.
You have to know.
You're
what,
like the brain that keeps.
I just
got to
keep pedaling.
Yeah.
On that day, that's
like
it.
Everybody says it, and it's totally true. Like, my job is just to keep pedaling.
Yeah.
And to shovel food in my face every 30 minutes. She's got all the logistics to deal with. She's driving around, going to different spots, getting herself in the right position, waiting for me, flagging me down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
and
you
got thousands, because at that point, which brings, I'll get a little bit ahead, but. You weren't in the first heat. It's not like it's a mass start.
No, it's in corrals, so they sort of wave starts.
And usually, is it like the people, do you get to pick your corral,
no.
or do you put in there based on
no.
previous
so,
finish? Or?
So there's different ways to get in different corrals. Because of the charity entry, we were up two corrals earlier, so we had a slightly better starting position.
Okay.
But there, if you have, so now if I was to do it again because of my time, I would be up another two corrals.
Okay.
So there are ways to do. There are other qualifying events if you place certain you place well enough in these events, you can get your starting.
So
position.
What corral from the first corral you were in? Do you remember what corral?
There's so many.
You were in blue.
I was in blue. Yeah.
And so your start time, the actual start time of the event began at like. If I recall, it was like 6 a.m.
I think one of the pro waves goes out at 6:15.
It went at 6. It was 15 minutes.
Then there's a pretty big gap before whatever the next corral is.
Okay.
Then it was quick. And then it sort of just felt like they just let
it
us all go.
Chaotic.
Yeah. But my start time, at least I don't even know what time I actually started. It was 6:42 and 30 seconds. Was the time. So it was very delineated on the start list, but then in the end it was just the mob started moving and then it's like, oh, we're going.
Yeah.
So
and the reason for getting an earlier corral is so you're not fighting through so many people because
there's a lot of
the,
traffic.
Because of the single track.
Yeah. So even being in blue made a big difference because the corral behind me has basically everybody who has no qualifying stat. Like no finish time, no bump up at all.
Yeah.
They're all back there, and there's a lot of them. A lot of people are just like they sign up for the race. That's where they're gonna be.
Yeah.
And it's good to be ahead of those people.
Yeah.
Because it starts off with like a downhill road, then people sort of shift positions and stuff. But then it pretty quickly gets into a climb where there's like a easy line that's like the good line. And then, but then you're like stuck in this conga line, and if and to make passes, you have to go out in the rough gravel, and one person will mess up, and suddenly everybody has to start pushing. But I was pretty lucky. I did not have to get off my bike on the first climb at all.
Which struck me again. I've seen with running races, I imagine a bike though. Running's one thing, a bike because of mechanical failures, somebody's legs, they over they overthought, not overthought, but they thought better to push out of the gate instead, and then
Well,
all of a sudden, yeah.
what happens a lot on those climbs is that because of the gravel, you'll just spin. You
Spin.
spin your back wheel, and then you have to put a foot down, and then it's hard to get started again
Your
'cause it's steep.
your
And
momentum's
then it
gone.
just like cascades back down through the group, where if
Wow.
one person hops off, it's like you either have to like track stand for a second, or you have to dip out into the other gravel, which is, I think, fortunately, I was able to like dodge all the stalling people.
Which is good. So when you do it next, no, I'm probably way ahead of the game.
And there you have it, everyone. I won't repeat everything we covered. We covered a lot of ground, and I'm so thankful in this part one to learn so much about Henry and Kelsey and just their story, the wonderful laughter we shared, and I hope you caught that and enjoyed that part also. I won't go into so much of what we covered. You listen to it. And the exciting part is there is a part two where we get more into the run up to the Leadville 100 bike race, the race itself, stories of crewing from Kelsey, and then kind of some of the post talk about the experience and so forth. So, again, thank you so much for joining. If you haven't already, subscribe, like, and then go back and check on the other interviews I've done. This is episode 19, which means you have 18 other episodes you can go back and listen to, and listen to some great interviews and stories with folks. There's not much more else to share, but did want to just share with you, enjoy your day. Be kind to yourself, be kind to those you love. And if in some way you find yourself in a position to be of service, and if not, find ways to serve others, even in some small way. I look forward to seeing you again for episode 20. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Kregel for Conversations with Kregel.